lot of baseball conversation. Cubs and Sox getting underway. And it's always great to talk to John Lester. He started everything when he signed with the Cubs back in 2015. He led them to a World Series in 2016. And he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. John, always great to talk to you. So, does spring training get old, or is it still as good as it's ever been?
No, man, I love spring training. It's a good time of the year. You know, obviously last year we had a longer off season, so, you know, to get back out here, get some warm weather, and get around the guys is always fun. You know, I think when you the more and more you do, you know, you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work and kind of that routine. But yeah, man, it's good. It's good to be back. It's good to be around the guys. And you know, a lot of energy, a lot of focus at camp right now, and I think guys are excited to go.
John, how is camp different with David Ross in charge versus what you experienced the last several years with Joe?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of comparing apples and oranges. You know, and I think they both have their unique ways of going about business. And I love the way Joe did things when he was here. It was always a pleasure to have camp with him and the season and all that. You know, I think Rossi just being new to everything, I think is, you know, he's going to be more energetic. He's going to be kind of more in your face as far as some things. But the way camp's going right now is great. I think guys are excited. Guys are focused on the stuff they need to get done. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can really compare. I mean, it's just two different styles that kind of go about things in different ways and both very positive ways.
John Lester joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. More to that, I mean, have you noticed a difference between David Ross, the player, and the guy who came over with you and you've played with in Boston versus David Ross, the manager, or is he the same guy?
Same guy, just different title. I think that's what's been fun to see so far. He expects the same thing that he expected out of me when we played together for 5 days. So, you know, the accountability, the effort, the preparation, the focus, the attention to detail. And that was stuff that he always prided himself on. And he made sure that I was locked into those as well on the days I pitched. And that's carrying over to him being kind of the same guy as far as on the field with us right now. One thing I've been surprised with is you know, he hasn't changed because he has a new title. And I think that's hard for anybody. You know, when you get promotions or you move up and to not feel like you have to change that, the stuff that he has done to this point in his life and in his career is going to work in just a different title.
Can you still bust his chops or can you not do that now because he's your manager and not just your catcher?
No, you can. I mean, he's still, I think that's what's going to make everything unique. You know, I think he between the lines and when you're here, you know, he's your boss and you're respectful of that and, you know, all that. But when it comes down to it, we're also, you know, you're still buddies and you still have to keep everybody accountable, you know, that goes for the players to the manager, to the other coaches. So, yeah, we can give him a hard time, joke with him. He's still the same guy. You know, I think when the lights turn on and we get going, it's, you know, things are going to change a little bit, but I think it's all going to be for the good.
Waddle and I were debating this yesterday in the wake of a lot of comparisons because of Joe and now because of David Ross. You've played for at least a handful of managers. Like, how much of a difference does a manager make at the end of a day, whether the club was good or not?
I think a lot. I mean, I think, you know, the managers, the team is the extension of the manager. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to play for a lot of good ones. And so is Rossi, and I think he's using those experiences from guys like Terry Francona, from guys like John Farrell, you know, guys like Joe, obviously the most recent one, to kind of, you know, kind of figure out his way. I think the biggest thing is you earn that respect from your players, and all those guys have, and Joe definitely did that, and you know, obviously see Rossi doing that as well, so. Yeah, I mean, we're just an extension of him going out there and playing and hopefully we do that well for him this year.
John, Javi talked about preparation. I know the front office has talked about accountability the last year or so, but from a veteran's perspective, why didn't you guys get to where you needed to be and wanted to be last year?
I mean, if we knew that, we would have moved on further than what we did. You know, baseball's a funny sport, man. That's why we play 162 of them. And, you know, I've been a part of, you know, close to 100 lost teams. I've been part of teams that have, you know, won 100-plus games. I've been a part of teams that have missed the playoffs by one game. And, you know, I've been a part of a lot of things. And I think if you knew what made each team special as far as the ones that go on and actually win, then you'd be able to duplicate that every year or replicate that every year. And it's just hard, man. You got to battle injuries. You got guys that try to fight through things throughout the year and they can't. And you got to have a little bit of a luck. You got to have everybody going. You know, like I said, if it was one thing,
right,
you could put your finger on it, we would fix it and move on and be better. And sometimes you just can't fix those areas. And unfortunately, we weren't able to. And you know, we as a result, we had a longer offseason.
Personally, John, how do you feel about your 2019 performance and how will that affect you going forward and what you expect in 2020?
I mean, I was obviously not very good last year. You know, kind of an example of a couple different things that, you know, if I could have put a finger on it either earlier or put a finger on it at all, I would have fixed it and hopefully have been a better pitcher than I was last year. But, you know, bad year. Learned a lot about, you know, moving forward of, you know, getting older and figuring out what I have and don't have and what I can and can't do. And, you know, you just learn from it, move on. And this year I feel good. Everything's been going well. My off-season program was great. Throwing actually was good starting this year. So, man, I'm looking forward to 20, you know, not only personally, but for this team. I think we're in a good place.
That's good to hear. John Lester joining us, Waddle and Selvey on ESPN 1000. You just mentioned getting older. I mean, you're 36. So, like, you know, the question comes up, hey, what does John Lester have left in the tank? What do you respond with?
I mean, a lot. I mean, like I said, I feel good. My programs went good this off season. You know, I feel like I'm in a better place right now than I was, you know, this time last year, as far as physically, mechanically, the way the ball's kind of responding to what I'm trying to do on the mound right now. So, I mean, I don't know if that translates into anything going forward. You know, I mean, that's the whole point of this season and working to get to that. But, you know, right now feels good and hopefully can continue to build off of what we've been doing.
John, when we talked to you last year at spring training, you told us, look, you lead by example. You're not often a rah-rah guy. Chris Bryant this offseason has gone through a lot of trade rumors. You dealt with that in Boston, and you did get traded. Will you give or have you given any advice to Chris Bryant on how to deal with all this?
I think Chris is fine. He's a big boy, you know. I mean, I think the first time you hear your name, you get a little surprised and you kind of ask some questions. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's done a very good job of separating the business aspect of this game and then the personal aspect that we all really love to be a part of. You know, it sucks sometimes when you have that reality of this is actually a business and, you know, the Cubs are trying to run the Cubs the best way they can. And if that was to involve him in a trade or any of us in a trade, you know, it's hard at first, but it's something you kind of figure out as you go. And I think he's done a good job answering questions about it. I think he feels like he's in a good place. He looks good. You know, in drills today, it looks like just normal old Chris out there smiling and enjoying the game. So, I mean, if he ever asks me for advice, then I'm there for him. But I think when somebody is dealing with it pretty well, like he is, you know, you don't want to beat a dead horse for lack of a better term.
You hit a couple of times during our talk right now about 19. And I thought as a Cubs fan, after the 19 season, that Theo would really go to work. Are you surprised at the lack of change at all with personnel?
No, we got a good team. I mean, I think people just sometimes want change to change. You know, no real reason behind it, just the fact that you just want something new. We have a very good team. I mean, we have three guys that are going to be perennial all-stars every year, or should be perennial all-stars every year. Now, with that being said, we need those guys to be healthy. You know, I need Chris Bryant to be healthy. I need Javi to be healthy. I need Riz to be healthy. And when they're able to stay in their legs and be healthy in that aspect of their game, then you'll see the talent. You'll see the production come out. You know, you got you coming off an injury year and then kind of trying to figure out himself again. And I think he did that, and I'm excited for his 20 campaign to see what he can really do and get after it and get Kimbrel back into what he is. You know, that's a hard position we put him in last year to come in. That's never really worked out, and I'm excited for him. I mean, man, we got a good team. I mean, I know we have some questions, and all teams have questions. You never have a full 100% roster where you're like, yeah, this is the guy at every position. But I love our guys. I love the way we compete. I love our attitude where we're at, and everybody seems in a good place and getting stuff done and working hard.
John, bigger picture, what bothers you most about this Astros cheating scandal?
I don't know, man. I want to get back to just talking about 2020 and the game that's in front of us. And I know it sucks, and we're never really going to probably have full answers on it. But you know, like I've said before, there's nothing we can really do about it anymore. I mean, the commissioner has come down and made his decisions on punishments, and you know, I mean, it is what it is. We just got to kind of, obviously, I'm not very happy about it, but
right.
I don't really I don't really want to continue right. talking about it. It's just it's getting old now for me.
Do you feel that a lot of the guys at camp feel the same way? And do you think it'll be fairly easy when this season begins to move on from this, and this is not going to be something you guys are even thinking about?
I don't think anybody here is thinking about it other until somebody asks them about it.
Right.
You know, I think we're worried about the Cubs. I said that the first day. Like, I'm worried about how we can get better as a team, the Chicago Cubs. I don't care about any of the other 29 teams right now. Because at the end of the day, we got to take care of ourselves, and we got to play as a team and play together and play hard. And that's what I care about. I don't care about anything else that goes on, you know, around the league right now. I'm focused on these guys and this team and you know, getting off to a good start and doing the things that we need to do.
So it sounds like, just to wrap up, that you think 2020 and the 2020 Cubs could be holding up a big piece of metal at the end of the year.
Yeah, how about that one? It's not a bad-looking piece of metal, is it? Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident in our guys. I don't see why we can't. I mean, I don't understand. I know we had a bad year, but you know, I don't think we deserve to be written off yet. I think we're a very talented team. You know, all 30 teams are World Series contenders starting day one. So I think we're just as good as anybody else. And I think our attention to detail and preparation and accountability and just everything that we're doing right now is going in the right direction.
John, we always appreciate the chats. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys.
There you go, John Lester. Good stuff as always. He expects them to win this year, 2020. Feeling good about everything. We'll see if that happens. We've got some great sound. I joked with Carmen today. We could throw a game. We've got here John Lester. Then we had Giolito on the station a little bit earlier. Two of the high-profile pitchers in this town. Giolito, unlike Lester, did go into great detail about the Houston Astros. And I've got a couple of questions for you about some other teams that could have been cheating from a listener. So you'll hear Lucas Giolito talk about what he thinks of the Astros next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Tweet is from Valentino Waddle, and then we'll play Lucas Giolito. He says, don't forget what Jack McDowell said about Tony La Russa using a similar system with the White Sox. La Russa went on to the A's yeah. in many years with the Cardinals. Quote, why would you stop doing it if you did not get caught. So he wants to know, have we heard any input on the Astros from players on St. Louis, Milwaukee, or Boston?
I have not, but what I'm waiting for are a couple of things. A, I want to see what happens with the Red Sox. As I said, I think it's good reading to, if you read the J.D. Martinez article, as he's been. Guys, come on, let's move on. It's 2020. We need to move on to different things. When the heat is as hot as it is on the Astros players, do they have any insight into other teams that may have been doing it? Are they willing to say, hey, look over here, look over here? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm here and I'm way underwater right now. Everyone hates me. Maybe they start pointing the finger at other people if, in fact, they do have knowledge of other people doing things wrong.
Well, is this going to be like the steroid story where even though these guys were retired, we kept hearing new guys? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, the steroid story is still being written from the steroids era. And I know there are still guys cheating, but, I mean, we find out more information on that. Being that baseball is such a transient business and guys change teams, once they're on other teams like Mike Fiers, will they be more willing to talk?
Yeah, it's a good question. And listen, Altuve and Bregman are public enemy number one and two, right?
Yeah.
At what point, if they do have knowledge of other players on other teams doing it, do they say, wait, listen, we're getting skewered here? And we're not the only ones that are guilty of doing something that is considered to be illegal. So I wonder if there'll be some singing in any moment.
That's why it's going to be interesting just to see what baseball releases about the Red Sox. Lucas Giolito was on earlier today with Carmen and Yurko. I could listen to him talk all day, and he's a really good pitcher these days as well. Giolito talked about the cheating scandal with the Astros and told some stories along the way.
Cheating is bad. Cheating in professional sports with millions and millions of dollars on the line is, I mean, in my opinion, just one of the worst things you could do in this sport. Obviously, you've heard around the league from players. I'm echoing that same sentiment. I don't see the punishment being enough. It seems rather light. Granting the players immunity and everything. Obviously, I don't have that job. I'm not the commissioner of baseball. Hard decisions to be made, but I don't know. It's just a shame. It's a shame to see that and the way it's kind of been handled since then.
Lucas Giolito is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. A very famous incident now when you guys were in Houston in 2017 has been brought to everybody's attention. This is going back to the original allegation back in November, and it's Danny Farquhar on the mound in Houston. I don't know if you were in the minors then still, Lucas, that year. Were you in Houston
No,
for that?
I was in the dugout. Okay. I was hearing the trash can bangs, and I actually had to start that series against them when they were doing it against me.
Really?
And, yeah, I didn't know at the time. It was actually, I got like a random tweet right when all the news was breaking in the off season. A guy kind of linked me a YouTube, I don't know, I guess a bunch of full big league games are on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he linked me a YouTube thing and he said, here, listen, at this point, went on and on. And sure enough, I'm watching myself pitch back in 17 against them and I'm hearing, and I'm seeing, they were like banging on my changeup or whatever. To me, that doesn't make me feel very happy. I actually put up good numbers in 2017 in my like limited starts with the team, but to think, what if I'd given up like an 8 spot that game and instead of finishing the year with like a 2-4 or 2-5 or whatever I had, I finished the year with like a 4 something or a 5, and then I might not get the same opportunity the next year in 18. It's obviously hypotheticals, but I feel like those are the types of situations that actually happen to players facing them. It's just not fair, and it really sucks.
You pitched a gem against them last year there.
For nothing.
Were you very aware of what was happening the last couple of years, what you all suspected, and did you take measures that maybe you normally didn't take in other buildings when you had to face teams? Were there specific measures that you guys took knowing what you knew about the Astros?
You know what, to be honest, I don't think that we did anything crazy special. In 17, obviously Danny's was very obvious, and he noticed it when he was on the mound. He kind of had the wherewithal to know what was going on around him. When I was pitching in 17, I had no idea what was going on. And then, you know, 18, 19, I don't think that we took any particular special measures. Obviously, they haven't really looked into it too much to the extent that the Astros might have gone in the next couple of years after 17. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. For me, if it worked in 1 year, then why would you want to stop?
Yeah. Hey, have you ever cheated in baseball, even if it's just a minor little thing like putting sweat on a baseball? I mean, the decision gets there for every individual over the course of time on should I or shouldn't I. You look back on your career, have you ever done something that might cross over into the cheating genre?
Yeah, I think that a lot of players, you know, will do certain things to try and gain a competitive advantage.
Maybe a little gamesmanship. You know, I like
a little gamesmanship. You know, you have, for example, I mean, picking signs, trying to figuring out sign sets from second base, relaying signs from second base if you know them. Like, that's been around for a very, very long time.
Right.
It's just the kind of like real time using cameras, using technology. That's when it gets a little iffy. I think that the sport in general does have a lot of nuances to it, to where, you know, it's like, you know, pitchers putting whatever on their fingers or hitters doing whatever with the pine tar. I don't know. That's been around for a while, but it kind of crosses into different territory once you get into the technology aspect.
There's Lucas Giolito. But how about Morley Safer there, Yurko? Hey, champ, have you ever cheated in your day?
But I didn't hear an answer.
No, he didn't. He did not answer. But I mean,
he's a great interview, though.
Yeah, great interview.
Yeah, he is.
And so how about that? Like in 17, then when going back, and he brought up those players who don't get the opportunities like he got in 18, whose career can take a different direction. I was talking to Meller before the show. Now there's a fan. Did you see this? There's a fan suing the Astros for $1 million.
Season ticket holder.
Yeah. Did you have this in Waddle's World?
Not yet. No.
So it's season ticket holder who said, look, they raised my ticket prices based on them winning the World Series in 17. That was a fake World Series. I shouldn't have to pay more money. I want $1 million here.
I don't want to refund. I don't want the difference in the tickets. I want $1 million.
Could have invested that money, Waddle, and since that time, it would have made grand total would have been $1 million.
Well, today on Cap and Company, Boyle brought up the point that they should have to, if MLB wants to get at them, they should have to return the $30 million that the players split in the World Series pool. But you can't do that unless you strip the title, because they'll say, well, we're still World Series champions in everybody's eyes, regardless of whether you believe it or not.
I got to be honest with you, as time goes on and to see just the disruption that has cost, I'm more and more like, look, if vacating this title is something that is going to prove to help move all of this forward, then hell, do it if you want to do it.
I know, it seems like you're just getting tired of it, though.
It'd be a hollow... Well, what if the commissioner says, you know what, I made a mistake, and, with the benefit of hindsight, I think it the most appropriate thing to be able to do, considering I could not suspend these players based on different technicalities, I should have made this decision initially. I'm going to make it now. We are going to vacate the title. Now...
Are you vacating titles with steroids?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. It's a slippery slope, and that's why I'm not 100% convinced side.
There's an easy out for him, because he could say, I wasn't commissioner at the time. I'm not going to go and change another commissioner's what they oversaw.
So he was commissioner. He was. Remember, we had him on during the Cubs World Series.
No, of steroids.
Steroid era.
I'm saying steroids.
Steroid era.
I'm saying he can vacate.
I thought you meant in 17.
He can vacate the Astros title if he wants to, and then say, I'm not going to oversee other commissioners.
Or you know what you do? You batten down the hatches, as they say, and you try to ride this out, knowing you'd be as contrite as you can possibly be, and you just hope that it goes away sooner rather than later. But if you still have people clamoring for a vacation of a title, I don't know how that's going to significantly change things. But
one listener wanted to know if Manfred currently is worse than the commissioner of hockey, Gary Bettman.
What's on his resume? What's on Bettman's? What's most recent?
I don't know if Bettman's ever done anything.
He's lost two seasons to lockouts.
Yeah, he also ruined some rivalries with the way they change it. I think the playoff system stinks in hockey with the way they do it now.
Listen,
if you
look at the NFL as well. I mean, how did Goodell handle Deflategate? How did he handle Spygate? How did they handle the Ray Rice situation? How have you handled the concussion issue over the course of time? Were you 100% honest and forthright on all of the information there?
So you think it would be a three-horse race between Goodell, Bettman, and now Manfred has worked his way into the race?
Goodell has the luxury of having the most watched sport in America. Like, Goodell has the, we can have all this off-season stuff, but then eventually we're going to start playing games and people are going to stop caring and it'll be fine. Like, think of all the stuff Goodell has survived. And he's just like that. Once we start playing games, the ratings will go up and no one's going to matter. Yeah, because football's awesome.
We love football. All right, Waddle's World is coming up next. Also, for later at around 4, there's a new Bulls column out about what the changes could look like. And you'll definitely want to get in on this. But we'll have some fun with Waddle's World up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC, I have some injury news for you with regard to the Chicago Bulls. Chris Dunn underwent an MRI and re-examination on Friday, February 14th by the team doctors at Rush. He will continue his current rehabilitation program of his MCL sprain for the next 4 to 6 weeks before progressing to functional training. A determination will be made at that time if additional treatment is required. So basically his season is over, correct?
Yep.
And by the way, this week's injury report brought to you by the great people at Rush University Medical Centers. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org. I know Chris Dunn hasn't been the player that we've all wanted him to be, but he plays good defense. He plays exceptionally hard. He makes the other team. I mean, I think he found his role as a backup point guard. Again, as the fifth pick of the draft several years ago, that's not what you want as a backup point guard. But he found a role.
The Bulls always get role guys.
Yeah, that's true.
They find role guys. It's finding the number one and two players that they have struggled with. You're right about Chris Dunn, but again, you're filling your roster up backwards, and he did not become what you thought he would be, and that's the disappointing part. So there's an article in the Sun-Times that we'll discuss it for. The headline says, Bulls could be looking for multiple hires to work under John Paxson. That's from the Sun-Times, and Joe Cowley will tell you what it says it for.
Ryan Newman, good news. He's been released from the hospital.
Amazing.
From Roush Fenway Racing was accompanied by a photo of Newman leaving the hospital with his two daughters. The news comes 2 days after his horrific last lap crash at Daytona. As I said, that's one, and I don't watch all of the races. The races I have seen, even in glancing over the last couple of years, that's as vicious and horrific of a crash I've seen in a long, long time. And the fact that he is able to leave the hospital on his own, walking out with his kids.
What were his injuries?
It has not truly been, I don't believe that they've said.
He's out of the hospital. I was really nervous that when they said, hey, they're not life-threatening, but I thought they'd be
like spinal injuries or something.
Like really serious. Like they would have a big impact on his life. But this, I mean, 2 days he's yeah, walking I, out of the hospital?
Again, I know nothing about the NASCAR vehicle other than they must have engineered those things to the point where obviously safety is a key issue, but it's incredible what they've done to protect their drivers.
Is
incredible.
There a picture of him?
There is from behind, where you see him walking out.
He's walking
with
crutches?
His two young daughters. No
not
crutches.
Not on crutches.
No. It's unbelievable. Back to the baseball nonsense. Joe Girardi has spoken. He was asked on Golic and Wingo this morning about the entire situation. I think we have sound of this, don't we?
We do. You want me to play it here, Miller? I've got it.
You know, I don't know. You know, there's some people that lost their jobs that, you know, really were the people that had to pay for it, but there were a lot more people involved. And, you know, the financial gains for the players are substantial if they have big seasons because of this. So if there's no punishment for them, I'm not sure that it stops. I'm really not sure, because the financial gains, similar to the steroid era, it's very similar. Like, if you know what's coming and you have a big year and you're a free agent, there's a lot to be made there, and players want to take care of their families. So I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is, but I don't know how much of a deterrent it is for players right now.
Right. So, I mean, like Giancarlo Stanton, to your point, had said today at Yankees camp, I would have hit 80 home runs in 2017 if I knew.
You would have broke the home run record.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be the home run. So there's not a huge deterrent for the players, and I think there has to be to make sure that it stops.
So if there isn't a real deterrent, would you say that they didn't do enough?
I think it's something we really have to look at. And I don't know how you get, you know, how you, if you're not in the clubhouse and you don't admit yourself that you did it, how you take the word from another player that he was doing it. That's the hard part, you know? So like, if you got caught with something on your body, you know, that to me definitely should be a suspension and a huge fine. But to say that someone was using it, it's his word against his word. That's pretty tough to penalize a player. So I think it's really difficult.
I think the fact that Joe Girardi actually even indirectly referenced the whole buzzer thing is interesting. That a manager would even consider that would be something that was being used. I don't think we've heard the last of all this. Again, I don't know I don't think vacating a title is going to stop someone who's looking to have a really successful individual campaign that would enhance him financially.
Don't forget, like, Girardi was managing the Yankees in 17.
Right.
You know, and he talked about people. That was his last year with the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think we've heard the last of all this stuff. I really don't.
No, I think it's going to be ongoing for years.
And as was referenced in that interview, Giancarlo Stanton said he could hit 80 home runs if he knew what pitch was coming. That's the one refrain that I hear quite a bit, which confirms what us non-baseball players probably all agree in unison, that it's a more significant advantage to know what pitch is coming than to be all muscled up, for sure. Charles Oakley's civil suit against the Knicks and owner James Dolan and Madison Square Garden has been dismissed.
So what was he? No, this is when he got kicked out, right? He was suing over that?
2017. That's when a lot of bad stuff in sports happened.
Remember, we had Oak Tree on right after that.
Yeah. So he did not win a lawsuit in 2017 following that February incident, which he had a run-in with security personnel. The circuit judge wrote, this case has had the feel of a public relations campaign, with the parties seemingly more interested in the court of public opinion than the merits of their legal arguments. Oakley has failed to allege a plausible legal claim that can meet federal pleading standards. So it's been dismissed.
Didn't the Knicks make a comment like, now maybe we can finally get, like, resolve this issue between the two parties, between him and Dolan? I think that's what they put in their PR release over this.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. The Redskins have picked up a team option for running back Adrian Peterson, and the Warriors say Steph Curry is not cleared for contact, but still on track for early March return.
You think so?
I don't believe so.
Why would you bring him back in March? What's the point?
I would not.
He's having too much fun on vacation.
Absolutely. He's very excited. Amateur footballer. Footballer in France is banned for biting an opponent's thing. Yeah.
No?
An amateur football player in France has been banned for 5 years after biting an opponent's penis while his victim has also received punishment.
Hey, now.
Dude, you got bit. That would be punishment enough. But he's also gotten punished.
That's a lifetime ban again. Like, is Manfred this football league's president where he's only suspending him for 5 years? You do that, that's life. That you're banned for life.
Neither player involved in the incident could be named for legal reasons, which took place in November of 2019. A certain player attacked another player after he attempted to calm a scuffle during the match between the two sides. Player's action was so violent that the other guy required immediate emergency attention, which resulted in 10 stitches in 4 days without work to start the recovery.
I'd say make it an eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye? Or a...
Yes.
Florida City shuts down the park, part of a park, due to an annual snake orgy. Things got quite spicy near Lake Hollingsworth in Lakeland, Florida this week after residents began reporting snake sightings to the local Parks and Recreation Department. The department and the city's Public Works Department began investigating. Turns out it's mating season for the Florida water snake.
Wow, where was this at?
In Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. So we had to shut down part of the parks because the snakes are getting it on.
Isn't every orgy a snake orgy?
I don't think everyone.
I've got a story about tongues in jars.
Oh, I saw this today. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and okay. Florida, Ohio, when we come back.
All right, that's all next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Florida police are investigating a scenario after several tongues preserved in jars found in a crawl space. Police in Gainesville, Florida are investigating after a contractor doing work on a home Monday discovered half a dozen jars containing human tongues inside a crawl space beneath the residence. That's creepy. Police were dispatched to a home near 16th Avenue after receiving a 911 call that human remains dating back to the 60s had been found in a crawl space.
I mean, so is it like being preserved? I mean, is...
Home belonging to the ex-wife of Dr. Ronald Bauman. Dr. Bauman?
Embalmman?
Dr. Bauman.
So do they think this could have been a medical thing?
Maybe just had a thing for tongues.
Bauman was a world-renowned pathologist and former University of Florida professor. He obtained the specimens as part of his research and brought them home with the intention of using them for additional work.
All right, so this wasn't
stored them in a crawl space because it was in a cool area.
No harm, no foul.
It's just tongues. Weird. The guys, I mean, it's not like people were missing them.
They obviously were missing them.
They're dead.
Sleeping with your partner's T-shirt could improve your sleep as much as melatonin supplements.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you're separated from your beloved this Valentine's Day or this past Valentine's Day, having a piece of clothing near you tonight or that night could help you sleep better. Carried out by researchers from the University of British Columbia in Canada, the new study recruited 155 participants, gave them two identical-looking T-shirts to use as pillowcases while they slept. One of the T-shirts had been worn by their romantic partner for a period of 24 hours in order to capture their body's scent.
Oh, that's sweet.
So these people actually slept better with the T-shirt of their significant other.
So that's a good tip. So if your wife goes out of town, your husband goes out of town, take their T-shirt that they've worn and put it on your pillow and use it as a pillowcase? Is that what you said?
I think so. Yeah, that's how you do it. Oh, a peanut butter bandage smears New York subway poles again. Last month, Gotham missed... Is that the newspaper reported on an unnervingly smooth campaign of terror in which someone had been spreading peanut butter on subway poles on the A train? Artis Gilmore? Who's putting peanut butter all over Artis Gilmore on the A train? There have been a few weeks of silence since, but it seems that things are getting nutty again.
Actually, Anthony Thomas. No.
Because a peanut butter bandit struck today on the A train.
Remember Anthony Thomas that rookie year? That was a good year. That was a fun team, that 0-1 Bears team.
Yeah, yeah.
The David Terrell, Anthony Thomas draft.
David Terrell, I mean.
Well, weren't they drafted in the same class?
Yeah, they both went to Michigan. So,
right.
But one was good and one was a disappointment.
Yeah. I thought David Terrell would be like our Michael Irvin. That's what I always envisioned.
Really?
He wasn't even our Tom Waddle.
No, not even close.
Does he still live here?
I haven't seen him in years.
Bears win.
Oh, how about
he used to
RB
live in the same building you live in, right?
Yes.
I remember seeing him walk past the first Midwest Bank studio.
Super friendly guy.
Yeah, it was a really good dude. People like the taste of insect butter in their waffles, study says.
Insect butter.
Did you know that there was insect butter in your waffles?
What do they do? How do they make insect butter? Do they just take a bunch of insects and spread them?
Butter made from insect fat might be healthier. Ask Danny. Get Danny on the phone.
Someone tweet
Danny.
Danny,
want some insect butter? Here's a strange story before we get to Florida or Ohio. Drunk bozo tries to eat mobile phone on a plane and forces an emergency landing. Probably not what they meant by putting a cell phone in airplane mode, but a drunk UK passenger facing jail time after attempting to eat his smartphone mid-flight, prompting the plane to make an emergency landing.
Why would that prompt an emergency landing?
Matthew Flaherty, 44, was on an EasyJet flight from Manchester to Iceland when he grabbed a bottle of gin from a bag and began chugging. The booze-addled air passenger then started talking with a random woman on the plane, reportedly telling her to blank off when she ignored him. He even tussled with a fellow passenger who was trying to retrieve their luggage from an overhead bin. When crew members tried to intervene, Flaherty turned on them as well, saying, "I'm going to kill you if you do not shut up." Then in a bizarre move, the liquor-logged lout started disassembling his own smartphone and began chewing on the pieces.
Oh, wow. He's a nutty. He's no bozo. Bozo was friendly.
Yeah. Nobody was playing bozo buckets on that flight.
Did you say that? Did they just call him a bozo, or was he really dressed like a bozo?
No, he was not dressed like a bozo. He was just a bozo. Hey, you want to play a game?
Yes.
You want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Game?
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
There's been some winners.
Winner, 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 winner.
I gotta tell you, winning gambling on soccer is quite exhilarating.
So let's pull the curtain back here. Meller and I have been gambling on Champions League soccer, and you always give us crap for watching soccer during the show.
Because you don't pay attention. Sylvie could be over there flagging you down like a guy at an airport, and both of you are glued to your television.
I wouldn't listen anyway.
I know.
So now, in order to get Waddle to stop making fun of us,
is what you did.
We scammed him, and we got him involved in our soccer betting.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, when he made us switch to the Daytona 500 on Monday, that was it. We had to come up with an elaborate scheme.
You know what? You're right. I wanted the Daytona 500 on the television. You guys wanted soccer, so you guys, you schnookered me, as they say.
We soccered you.
I'm putting money in your pocket. That's how we
snookered you. No, you took $60 from me yesterday.
I've got a list of things later in the show, because we got to do Florida or Ohio, that I want Waddle to gamble on now that he's in the soccer arena.
Done.
Europa tomorrow. All right. Florida, Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com. Woman attempts to escape jail waiting area, tears down ceiling. Video captured of an inmate who was attempting to escape a jail waiting area through the ceiling. Jessica Boomershine was in jail after she and another man were accused of breaking into a house and assaulting an 85-year-old man.
Oh, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Boomershine is seen using a chair to attempt to climb into the ceiling of the jail waiting area. She comes crashing to the floor, bringing part of the ceiling with her when several police come to grab her.
A long list of misbehaved Boomershines coming from the Cuyahoga Falls area.
Really?
Yeah.
Not heard that name, Boomershine.
That's it.
That's all?
I ask you. Well, they beat up an 85-year-old man. Was this in Florida or Ohio?
I'm going to follow your lead, and I'll go Youngstown.
I think Boomershine sounds like a made-up stage name to me, so I'm going to go with Florida. Tampa, Florida.
All right. Let me tell you guys something, okay? He wins soccer bets. He wins the soccer parlay.
He did not name the town, did he?
He wins the money line play. No, he didn't name the town. But a woman attempted to escape a jail waiting room through the ceiling, bringing down the entire ceiling in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah! Dayton was what was on the tip of my tongue, and I didn't want to go Dayton because I've said Dayton too often, so right. I went Cuyahoga Falls.
We always have like the five or so towns in each state that we mention over and over and over again. It's pretty good. By the way, speaking of our state, Waddle brought up a good point. For the first time since November of 2007, we do not have an Illinois governor in jail. Let's give our state a round of applause. That's a pretty big feat, isn't it? I mean, that's 13 years.
You think Pritzker's now sweating right now, wondering, oh my gosh, is it just destiny for me? Or is this something that just, look, that's crazy. That is crazy.
It's been a wild 24 hours with the Blago coverage, and I want to talk to Gene Greco about that later in the show. But the Bulls, people are now expecting, quote, change with the Bulls. But again, the question is it really change? And Joe Colley came out with an article that says maybe slow your roll. So we'll read you what he wrote in this developing story in 2 minutes.